Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We know that light things float and heavy things sink, but not always. Jesus overruled the laws of nature when walking on water and commanding a storm to cease. If you'd been in that boat, what would your reaction have been? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on seven convincing miracles taken from the Gospel of John. Today we turn again to John chapter 6 and see Jesus, Lord of Nature.
Today I'm speaking to those of you who are going through a storm. A storm of life. It may be a marital storm. Maybe you were married and you married unwisely and now you are in loneliness and despair and there is no way out. I speak to those of you who are going through a financial storm. Maybe you're going through what I'd like to call a judicial storm. A judicial storm is that justice has been denied you. You have been cheated, and the anger and the sense of fairness within you is eating your soul like cancer eats the body, and you can't be free because you can't see God in it. Some of you may be going through a medical storm. The doctors told you things about your body that you thought could only be true of anyone else or someone else. And now you're going through that time of discomfort and illness, and you don't know what the future holds. I speak to two different kinds of people today. I speak to those of you who are going through a storm and those of you who someday will go through a storm, which is another way of saying I'm talking to all of you. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. As you know, we are in a series of messages entitled Seven Miracles That Should Convince You. And this is miracle number 5 within the Gospel of John. Jesus, you remember, fed the multitude, and it was there out on the grass that they saw the wonder of Christ and his ability to create. But listen carefully. The faith that they should have learned in the calm is the faith that they now have to apply in the storm. Do you know why God gives us periods of calm? It is that we might be able to learn principles that will help us during periods of the storm. And so Jesus says to the disciples, get into a boat. He himself goes onto a mountain to pray, onto the Golan Heights, and he is there communicating with his Father. And just like a magnet turns toward the north when it is unobstructed, in the very same way, the heart of Christ always turned toward the Father whenever he had a few spare moments. And he always took those spare moments, even if there were other things to do. Now, I need to tell you that this sixth chapter, and we're going to pick it up actually at verse 16, that the story here in John is recorded also in Matthew chapter 14 and in Mark chapter 6. And some of the comments that I will be making today are based on those narratives. Now, we know they're the same incident, but the other writers give more detail. John just mentions it very, very briefly, but Matthew and Mark tell the story with a lot more color added to it. The terms of Peter and all of the other interaction of the disciples. Don't think that when they got into the boat to go to the other side that they were somehow being, neglectful. It says in Matthew that Jesus made them get into a boat to go to the other side to Capernaum while he himself went aside to pray. So the disciples leave, and it is in the midst of this circumstance that a storm comes. You know that from the Mount Hermon, oftentimes, you'll go across the Sea of Galilee, and it'll be perfectly calm, and then suddenly a squall can come, and it can become a very bitter and fierce wind. And I'm sure that because Jesus was so interested in this one, it was probably the worst that the disciples had ever encountered, and they kept rowing and rowing. It says in verse 16, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. But now it was dark and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Why was it that they were so fearful? Well, we know the text in effect tells us. First of all, they were fearful because of the size of the waves, and also fearful because of the tremendous wind, at the speed of the wind and the size of the waves. You know, God incidentally created us that we might have fear. Fear is very good for us because what it does is it tends to make us not walk across a street unless it's safe to do so. Fear also has something else that'll keep us from touching electrical wires. Fear has its benefits. But fear, when we are in circumstances that we can't control anyway, can become debilitating, even those fears that really do not have an object. There are people who struggle with anxiety and they do not know what it is that they're anxious about. Debilitating fear. They were also fearful because the text says, as we read it, that it was dark. That's verse 17. And they were weary. Now, normally you can go across the Sea of Galilee. They would be able to in about an hour, 2 hours max. They've been rowing for 6 to 8 hours at this period of time, as we shall see. And they still weren't there. And the wind was unrelenting. Also, Matthew and Mark, they record the fact that when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they said, "It is a ghost." And they were terrified. In those days, people believed that there were actually spirits that would come from the dead and do some walking. They would somebody would die, and then his spirit would come back, and that spirit could be seen walking or living in a house somewhere. So you had haunted houses. Of course, I believe in haunted houses too, but I don't believe that that's the interpretation of them. Haunted houses are not human spirits that have returned. They are, as the Bible says regarding some demons, familiar spirits, because they're familiar with the person with whom they are associated. Maybe they even indwelt him or her. And so because of this familiarity, you see, they take on the characteristics of the dead, and they are the ones that haunt houses. Years ago, I was up in Calgary, and when I was in the Calgary Hotel, close to Banff, the Calgary Herald, when I was there, wrote a story. They had a story on how 2 rooms in this beautiful hotel were haunted. And one day we were there, and this young woman asked whether or not she could take us for a tour of the hotel, and we said, sure. So she took us to the dining room area, and she said, as you come down these stairs, there were marble stairs with potted plants. She said, a ghost lives on those stairs, and that's why we have these plants, so nobody can walk on them. And she said, a young woman, when the hotel was built, was being married, and she stumbled down the stairs and hit her head and died there, and her spirit still is there. And she said, you can talk to some of the people who work here in the cafeteria, and they will tell you that they see her from time to time. I looked at this young lady who was about 21 years old, and I said, would you like me to give you a biblical explanation for this? I said, this young lady died and her soul went to wherever, but it's not on the stairs. I said, but there are demons that sometimes take the characteristics of a person with whom they are acquainted, and they may stay in certain areas. And this sweet young tour guide looked at me and she said, I don't like the word demon. I prefer the word ghost because it's friendlier. You know, Casper, that friendly ghost. I want you to know today that there are no friendly ghosts. There are no friendly. They're ghosts that appear friendly, but there are no friendly ghosts. So anyway, here they're on the sea and they see Jesus walking toward them, and immediately Jesus comes to them and says, it is I, be not afraid. And then you remember the story of Peter, and then they invite Christ into the boat. And then John says that the boat was at the shore almost immediately. In fact, that might have been a miracle, the fact that it was at the shore so quickly. Well, that's the story. Does Pastor Luther have anything more to say? I mean, he's told the story. Ah, yes, there's so much more. I would not want you to leave without being so blessed that you won't know where to put your blessings when you leave. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share with you four lessons that we can learn from this story, and these lessons are so important that if we learn them well, listen carefully, you would never view a storm of life the same again. I promise. You'll never see a storm in the same way. You'll never see a ghost in the same way. You will never see the darkness and the night in the same way. If only we were to learn these lessons, if only I were to learn these lessons, we would simply transform our storms into something that would be quite different. If only we learned what the disciples had to learn. Are you ready to learn today? You came here to learn, didn't you? Lesson number one. Sometimes Christ commands us to row into the storm. He commands us to do it. In the passage in Matthew, we have that Jesus made them to get into a boat, and he said to them, "Cross over to the other side where I will meet you." Could it be any clearer than that? Students from Moody Bible Institute, and we have some of them here today, constantly puzzled about the will of God. They're not the only ones. We all are from time to time. What is God's will? I wish that he'd come out of heaven and tell me what to do. Well, I want you to know that in this instance, Jesus told them what to do. Get into this boat, go to that side of the lake. Could it be any clearer? And in the midst of obeying Christ, the most awful storm they had ever encountered. So often people think, you know, that I'm in a storm. I must be out of God's will. It can't be God's will that I'd be here in Chicago. Look at what has happened to me since I've come. No, my friend, you might be here at the command of Christ, or exactly where the storm is. Always remember that. This is Pastor Lutzer. Well, today I'm going to talk to you very briefly about storms. We've talked about the one that happened there on Galilee, and of course the message will continue again tomorrow. But there are many of you who probably are thinking this. You're saying, yes, they were commanded to get into a boat and to go to the other side. They were in the will of God, and they rowed into a storm in accordance with his will and obedience. But Pastor Lutzer, I'm in a storm today that is of my own making. I'm the one that made a wrong decision. Like someone I know who was warned not to marry a particular individual and ignored the warning and now is suffering as a result of not taking counsel. I have some good news for you. I believe that Jesus is as ready to help us in the storms that we ourselves have created as he is to help us in those storms that are the direct result of obedience to his will. My friend today, take this from my heart to yours. Jesus does not abandon us when we are in a storm, even if it is one of our own making. He is there. He comes to us. What he's desiring, of course, is yieldedness, faith, persistence, a willingness to do his will, laying down the weapons of a rebel, and simply saying, Lord, I am yours today. Use this storm for your glory and honor. My friend, pray that today, and he will respond.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Jesus, Lord of Nature, another message on the seven convincing miracles. Next time, more lessons we can learn from a time when nature was overruled. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about seven convincing miracles when you write or call. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.